100 word stories.
Good morning to the everyone. This is Lauren Simon of the 100 word stories podcast at one a day until the day I die.com. What will we do to, hey, it's Sunday, weekly challenge day. I post the topic and you come up with the story based on that topic. I put them all together and we have this thing. Who did we get stories from? Well, first we ought to know what the stories are about. They're all about the topic hospital. We've got stories from Ginger, Fove, okay, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, I always get it wrong, and Jeffrey. By the way, Fove is new, I think. I can't remember. There's been 599 of these things. Maybe if I had a list. Okay, so Jeffrey, Richard, Tom, Charlie, we've got John, and Serendipity, and Tura, Norval Joe, Dwayne, and Planet Z. So, hold on, I need to look at the... Hold on. Okay, so we go to Weekly Challenge and just... Nope, I know. Weird. Why aren't they there? Oh, I'll send them a note. Okay, so that's the intro. How about we have some stories?
Hello, night people. Tom here, and my story this evening is called Whistling Past the Graveyard. I don't know what it is about hospitals that bring out the snarkiness in people. They tend to hangle the most pejorative of monikers on these institutions. In our county, Lakeside is referred to as Graveside, and Redbud is called Deadbud by the locals. Perhaps it's a throwback to the days when it was unlikely you would survive a trip to the hospital. It could be that there are few places that one loses all dignity and control, so we whistle past the graveyard with an air of superiority. Of course, if we're running a temperature of 105, different story. And that's it for this week. Good night, America, wherever you are. Oh, one quick note. The air is full of smoke. There's fires all around me. The north side of the lake, Napa, and the true devastation which ran right through Santa Rosa. My heart goes out to everyone who has been displaced by it. If you've ever been in a fire zone, it is horrendous. So, best of luck with everyone. Stay safe.
Good morning, Richard here. This week's topic was hospital, and I have two stories for you. The first is called Hospital. If you really want to make me miserable, put me in a hospital. The sights, sounds, and smells of the sick and injured makes for a distinctly depressing environment. The interminable waits, painful and intrusive procedures, and the sheer discomfort only adds to the unpleasantness. While visitors feel obliged to make inane conversation, but all the time wish they could be somewhere else. What about the dreadful food and those depressing, bland pastel colours they insist on painting the walls? It really does make you sick. Every day I find myself wishing I'd never chosen to become a doctor. And here's another. It's called Cure-All. It's a universal cure-all, an all-natural remedy with no side effects, and highly efficacious against a multitude of ailments. Bad back, high blood pressure, bulimia, acid indigestion, brain tumour. All these and more can be treated simply and effectively, often only requiring a single course of this revolutionary new treatment. Its therapeutic qualities aid recovery, assist the healing process, and protect against infection and complications. Take orally or rub on the affected area as a lotion. Then just wait for the results. Yes, folks, you'll never look back after you've tried all new, scientifically proven horse spittle. I shall make a rapid retreat now and wish you all a good weekend. Goodbye.
The Hospital by John DeCleese. It was built of brick and it had dignity. It was beautiful with details that bridged the gap between a public establishment and the home one missed. Nice frames around the doors and windows, rooms where those who were mobile could gather and talk, perhaps play cards or chess or checkers. There were sunny, screened porches. People had died there many times, but many more had lived. The smiles of nurses lingered, sunlight rather than shadows. The new place down the road was easier to clean, had many advanced facilities, and was probably better. But it had no stories yet.
Hospital by Ginger. The psychiatric attending physician on rotation at hospital decided to take advantage of a blonde admitting nurse early on in her career. His favorite tactic had been to ambiguously refer to an undefined we when explaining very particular directions for the handling of patients he wished to assess. Sit him in the furthest corner of the waiting room. Do not speak to him until we tell you, etc., etc., because that is how we want it done. This worked very well in terms of gaining blind obedience from hospital staff. No instruction required explanation because he was a doctor, not just any doctor, a psychiatrist, and if an explanation was requested by someone serving admittance to emergency, one would simply be assured, because that is how we want it done. And the phrase alone would always ensure exacting compliance to the letter. It also served to confuse patients who would be admitted promptly with a medical illness for voicing concerns. One night, well into the wee hours of the morning, an assault victim arrived at admittance, having driven herself to the hospital with a slashed throat. "Tell her to fuck off," said the psychiatrist to the admitting nurse.
With deepest thanks to Mark Waldron, poet. As a floor nurse, I've dealt with the foul, fascinating landscapes, besmirched with armpits and fruity genitalia, belching gobs, and those impulsive blurting sphincters in whose hot updrafts that I might ascend and soar. After my shift, I joined the clandestine cocktail therapy session in the break room. I took advantage of the head nurse's drugged condition and shoved her face into the pasta potenska. Dr. Humming Shorts whispered in my ear, saying he thought my jacuzzi was wet and warm. It was time to leave when I found a pube in my gelato. Number 2. Rash Barwash was the hospital administrator. He recently put out a memo to all docs and nurses that a rise in supply prices from vendors would necessitate rises in all consumables. Of course, the prices billed to insurance was already high. An example was the current charge of $308 for 4 boxes of sterile gauze pads, each containing 24. 4-inch by 4-inch dressings. These could be bought over the counter at Walgreens for $3.99 a box. Barwash left this plane, prematurely, along with 6 CEOs of vendor companies. They were flying to a conference when a mishap occurred.
Hey, Dwayne here, with another 100-word story. And now, hospital. Arriving late to the maternity ward, I was hurried into scrubs and watched from outside myself as the doctor darted away shouting, "Let's have a baby!" The nurse ushered me towards the delivery room and into a cacophony of action, light, and sound. The doctor said, "I need you to push." And all hell broke loose. What was a couple of nurses seemed to turn into a large choir chanting, push, push. My wife had a look on her face I had never seen before. If a marching band had come through at that moment, I wouldn't have even noticed.
Hi, this is Mimiel. No one sane answers yes to the question, do you want to go to the hospital? But neither does hardly anyone crazy either. So how do you know if you're sick or well, if we are all a little crazy, or just dying by the second as we live? You listen to your body. Listening to it produces weird dialogue. My right foot complains a bit. She's bigger than my left, and feels somewhat put upon when forced into that half-size smaller shoe if I buy cheap ones that don't come in size 9.5.
This is Serendipity. And here's my story for this week. You lie there, in your hospital bed. Every intrusive beep of the monitor, every ponderous drip of the saline, counting off the moments that remain. Moments that are marked and defined by pain. And here, in my hand, lies the answer. A simple syringe, loaded with a soothing, pain-relieving, peace-inducing panacea. Morphine. Just one shot can ease your discomfort, dull the pain, and bring you relief. Or maybe, if it's just too much to bear, the full load, bringing permanent release. So, what shall it be? Actually, it's mine. You can suffer while I watch.
Hello. Philip Norville, Joe Carroll's computer here. He's not even trying to record his episode this week. What a lazy bum. Anyway. Here is his entry for the weekly challenge number 599 with a prompt of hospital. See if this makes sense to you. The security officer dragged Axel into an empty warehouse and threw him onto the floor. He pulled a prod from his utility belt and aimed it at Axel. Several holes on the end closest to Axel told him the prod could project various charges. Most likely it was preset with stun bursts to incapacitate and immobilize a perpetrator. Though, other possibilities included O2 deficit, muscle spasm, and tissue dissolving charges. If the officer fired the prod, Axel could end up incarcerated, in the morgue, or in the hospital. Now's your chance to come clean, the officer snarled. Who's your supplier? Thanks for listening. And, we'll see you next week.
Toro Brazzino here, with a story on the subject, hospital. It was the first time I accompanied the senior doctor on his hospital round. Generalized semantic disorder, he said, of the first patient. He sounds like he's asking to be discharged, but none of his words mean anything. Treatment, ignoral. We continued to the next room. Persecution disorder, attacked in the street. Let's hear your thoughts on treatment. Caught on the hop, I stammered some foolishness about finding his attacker. He looked at me sharply. Young man, talk like that could get you arrested as a patient. It wouldn't be the first time some starry-eyed intern has contracted conspiracy disorder.
Good morning, everybody. This is Jeffrey Fisher, and I'm here for week 599 on the topic of hospital. I'm recording this from my remote studio, also known as my in-law's place, so can't do any post-processing on this, so the sound quality is going to be even worse than my usual mediocre efforts to make this sound comprehensible. But we do what we can. Anyway, my story this week is called To Sleep, Perchance to Dream. I lie in my hospital bed, just starting to drift off to sleep, when a nurse arrives. Time to check your vital signs, she says cheerily, sticking a thermometer in my mouth, wrapping a blood pressure cuff to my arm, and clamping a heart rate sensor to my finger. I'm fully awake now. The clock reads just after midnight. She leaves. I close my eyes again. Time for a blood sample, another nurse calls out. 2 freaking a.m. By 4, it's another round of vitals, followed by breakfast at 6. You look tired today, a day nurse says. No kidding, I reply. And that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Take a trip with me to Planet Z.
I used to play the game SimCity, where you put together a city's infrastructure and zones, and the computer would fill up that city with people and homes and offices and other things. Every now and then, a dense residential zone would turn into a hospital or church, which wouldn't get you much resident density for that zone. So I'd bulldoze it and rezone it, and the residents would pour back in until another church or hospital appeared. After 2 hours of playing whack-a-mole with them, I gave up completely. God crumpled the disc and threw it in the trash.
And there you have it, a whole bunch of stories, 100 words long, I think. I don't know, I didn't count. On the topic of hospital. The next one, oh great, now I gotta look it up. The next weekly challenge is on the top, I just recorded it. Oh, the next weekly challenge is on the topic of rock, so get your stories in. Make sure you mark them weekly challenge so I see them and don't accidentally put them in a weird folder. And I will be back next week. You'll be back next week. One a day until the day I die.com is the site. Click, point, link, like, fave, whatever the crap the new wave is. I don't know. And let's see. Oh, thank you all for being a part of this. And as always, keep it brief.